Praise the Lord. We are studying in the book of Revelation, and we're going to go back to chapter 5 now. We did chapter 4 about 2 weeks ago, last week, since it was Communion Sunday and everything. We went ahead and had our communion service and our ministry about the Word of God, about Jesus dying and that. So if you'll turn with me to Revelation, the fifth chapter. You know, now we got to review just a little bit, so while I'm turning my Bible and finding it, I'm going to talk to you about, in the second and third chapter, we saw two churches of Asia, this letter was written to originally. Both of them were people that God didn't have anything against. There was nothing that he tried to correct them about. They won the group of Smyrna, passed on to be with the Lord. And that speaks to us of those who die in the Lord, who love Jesus, they've passed on to be with the Lord. And they're seeing beautiful things. And then the church of Philadelphia, again, he didn't say anything against them about anything that was going on in their assembly or their life, just good, really good commendation. And so we saw them in chapter 4 then, there in the throne room with Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ had come. That's what the fourth chapter shows. Christ has come to the earth. He's taken away his believers who are fully yielding to God and standing for him. So we are in the book of Revelation, and we're going to go ahead now. And in the fourth chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 3 just quickly. After the church age, isn't that how it's going to happen? After this church age that we live in, our time right here, living our lives and ministering and going to the church and doing all the things we're doing. He says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And, you know, that's the words I think that the Lord is going to use when he blows that trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 talks about Jesus Christ coming back again and sounding the trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And in verse 2, immediately was in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That throne will be changed because he is at the right hand of his Father right now. He doesn't have his own throne right now. But when this time comes for this beautiful time of... It's going to be horrible for the world, but this beautiful time of Jesus coming for his bride and as the scripture calls, the believers that are yielding to God, he's going to resurrect those that have gone on to be with the Lord, and he's going to take us away, those of us who are ready and watching for Christ to come. He's going to take us away, it says, in the twinkle of an eye. That's faster than a blink. And it's going to happen just like that, and we're going to have new bodies. No more sickness, no more pain, no more trouble, all these things we go through in this life. So when John looked up there, he saw immediately that the throne was set in heaven, and he that sat upon it was to look upon like a jasper, that's a diamond, and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in his sight like unto an emerald. Oh, beautiful heaven. We don't know what it is, do we? But one of these days. So we're going to, the latter part of the chapter 4 we already had is talking about the overcomers. They are called in this place 24 elders and 4 living creatures. And the rest of the book of Revelation until chapter 19, these beings are helping the Lord bring forth the judgment of the tribulation time on the earth. And so we're going to begin reading with chapter 5 now, carrying on from that point. He says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Now, what is this book? This book is a book of the future. And it's a book of judgment. It's a book that shows the different judgments that are going to come upon the world after the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes away his overcoming people, the victors and the persons that are walking with God will go to be with the Lord, as we saw those beings there with him in the fourth chapter. And there he is. He's sitting on his throne, and he has a book in his hand written on the backside and sealed within and on the backside. Has a lot of words, doesn't it? Okay, verse 2. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now remember, John the apostle, one of the disciples, he's in sort of like a trance. He's been carried away to heaven, and he hears and sees all these wonderful things. And as he's watching, there is no one to open the book. And so what happens? John weeps. He says, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Well, I'll let you in on a little secret, and I know that you all know this. There is not any human being that can do what Jesus can do. There's no human being that's worthy. We're not worthy. No matter how good we are, no matter how much we try to, like a lot of people try to keep the law and do all the things that the scripture tells us, we're not worthy. Because only Jesus is worthy. As we've sung that chorus, verse 11 of chapter 4, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." We sing that chorus. Let us remember that no man is able to look into the things of God just like that without really being filled with the Spirit and, you know, yielded so they can understand what's going on. So John wept because of that, because no man was found worthy to open and read this book. So what's going to happen now? Nobody can open the book? Yep, there is someone that can open the book that has the authority. And that's what we see in verse 5. One of the elders, now remember, these are the overcoming people of the church age. Elders are special people in God because they are anointed, and in the church they are people who stand for the word of God and for the pastor, back the pastor, stand, and our elders are workers, a lot of them that just work on this church all the time and do all kinds of things. And so we're so thankful for elders. Now this, of course, is the overcoming Christian that stands forth and says unto me, "Weep not." Don't weep. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." This is good. This is beautiful. The book in the right hand there. Praise the Lord. Remember that? He had a book in his right hand, verse 1. Who had it? Jesus. Jesus had it. This is a very special book, as we said. It had seven seals on it. Christ was not sitting at his Father's right hand now at this point. In Isaiah 9:6, it's a prophecy of Jesus, and it says there, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's what he's doing at this moment in this text. He is sitting on his own throne. He is the King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's what he is. He's sitting there in a fulfillment of so many prophecies in the Old Testament. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." See, he's acting as God. God, Father, is here. God, Father, and Son are in perfect agreement. For all of this age, he's set at the right hand of his Father, interceding for us. But one day he will have his own throne. Hallelujah. And notice that the elder says, don't cry. the lion of the tribe of Judah. In the olden days, the tribe of Judah was a group that had a red flag with a big lion head on it. And so what was that lion symbolic of? A ruler, the lion, the jungle, the master of the jungle. Well, Jesus is the lion. It shows the power of God, the strength of God. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is of the root of David. Yes, he is of the root of David. I skipped a lot of my notes here. So, the lion hath prevailed. The lion hath prevailed. Hallelujah. He has prevailed to come and to bring judgment upon this world. And that's what this is beginning to talk about. Is this book is full of judgment of the world. That people that have not given their hearts and lives to Christ. Praise the Lord. So, he purchased this right when he was the lamb slain. Was it say there? The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, which was prevailed to open this book. When did he get that place? And it will tell us in the next verse. As a lamb slain. He was slain. He was willing to give up his life, his divine life, and come down to this earth in a human body and live here on the earth and be persecuted and rebuked practically on every time he turned around and brought something, they rebuked him for it. The Pharisees, oh, he's a liar. And went out there to try to stone him to death and all the sorts of things that they did. And finally, the crucifixion. And so isn't that a beautiful thing? He purchased this right because he was slain as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of Redemption will actually open up these seals off of this. Brother Copley says in his notes. He won this right. He wore a crown of thorns. But then he's going to wear at this point a crown of glory. Hallelujah. A beautiful crown of glory. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. As we read over there in the fourth chapter. Glory to God. Sitting on his throne. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So looking more at this. The root of David. Now, one of the things that the scripture says a lot of in different places, it shows the genealogy of Christ in two places. I've told you this many times, but it's just so beautiful. You know, Mary was his mother, and the birth was virgin birth. Mary had never had a relationship with a man. It was the Holy Spirit that conceived the Lord Jesus Christ in her. And if you trace the genealogy in the book of Luke, you see that her genealogy went back to Nathan, the son of David. Because his stepfather, Joseph, what did God do about that? Everybody thought he was Joseph's son. Joseph also, if you trace his genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew, you see that he is traced all the way back to Solomon, all the way back to King David. Both of these, Joseph and Mary, if Israel had been reigning on thrones, they would have been king and queen. Isn't that something? But, of course, Israel rejected Christ and cast him out. But this shows the genealogy of David. And so often, like you see here, he's at the root of David. Why would God mention that? Because he had promised in the Old Testament that Messiah would come after the genealogy of the lineage of David. And it's going to be fulfilled. Jesus was the child of David. I also want to just say a little bit more about this Lamb of God in John 1:29. Can any of you tell me who came out and prophesied and said that he was the Lamb of God? The first one that said that? John the Baptist. In John, the first chapter, verse 29, it says that there that John the Baptist cried out when seeing Jesus. Behold, he said, the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Isn't that an amazing thing? Here was Jesus just coming there to be baptized, and he's announced that he's the Lamb of God. That's the sacrifice that he would die for the sins of the world. Isaiah 53:7 prophesied it of Jesus. He said, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. But let me tell you something about this lamb. This is not a grown lamb, really. Jesus was a grown man when he died. But in the Greek, this is a lambkin. My aunt had sheep, and the little baby lambs were so beautiful, little white lambs, and they were so helpless. They had to have help. Sometimes their mom would die, or there would be not enough milk, and she had big old bottles with nipples, and she would feed those little baby lambs until they got old enough to eat grain. And when we were little kids and we went there, my mother's sister, beautiful, went there, always she'd say, would you like to feed the lambs? And we'd go out there and they would just almost drag the big old thing out of our arms, you know, because we were just little kids. But being a little lamb speaks of smallness and weakness, of being despised and rejected of men and helpless and lonely and bruised and slain. And that's what Jesus was. He was a little lamb brought to the slaughter, as the scripture says. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It says here that he was of the root of David, which hath prevailed to open up this book. That means, the word prevailed here means to conquer. It means to overcome. In other words, it's a bad situation here. Who's going to open up the book? Jesus is. Jesus is the conqueror. He's going to open the book of judgment. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. He has prevailed. He has conquered and overcome to open up the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. In other words, we're going to look into each of these judgments of God that are going to come on the world. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, that's not beasts in the original, it says living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as he had been slain. Here he is on his throne, and he looks like he's been slain. Isn't that amazing? Salvation by the Lamb of God will go clear through the tribulation. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord and realizes he died for their sins will be born again, even in the tribulation when God is bringing judgment on this world. And so Jesus doesn't show himself as, you know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you know, a big lion like we know that he could have there in the fifth verse, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He shows himself in this vision to John as a little lamb, a very young lamb stood as it had been slain. And he had seven horns. The number seven is a number that God uses a lot. You know, like the 7 years of tribulation, 7 days in the week, and you know, all these things. But this right here shows his power and authority. This little lamb might be looking helpless. This little, you know, Jesus hanging on the cross. They made fun of him, you know. They abused him. He looked like any other person being crucified. But he was more than that. He had horns. And that is his power and authority. He has power and authority. He is the head of the church right now. Of all the believers who believe in Christ, there's one church. It's not just our church. It's the church. All believers who know Jesus as their Savior are in this group, and he is the authority over it. Praise the Lord. And he had seven eyes. That speaks of how he sees everything that goes on. The Lord knows everything about us. We cannot hide anything from God, you know. And so we need to just think on that sometimes, that he's with us constantly. He's with us constantly. And he sees everything. And we're going to be rewarded in heaven for our actions and for the reason, for the thing that we have been born again and we're yielding our lives to the Lord. And it says, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So we'll go more into that part, but we're going to go to verse 7. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. I believe that, you know, God is still on his throne. Jesus is going to have his own throne, but God is still there. And I think that this shows a part of God here, that Jesus goes to him and takes this book. He's saying, okay, I'm the authority, I'm the ruler, I'm the leader, and this is what is going to happen. And he takes this book. All right. So, praise the Lord. I write tons of notes and then I don't use them. Okay, in verse 8, let's look at verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four, and I'm always going to say living creature because that is what they are. They are mentioned in Ezekiel 1 as the living creatures. Okay, they are the overcomers of this church age. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. Saints of God, if you're in this group, you're going to have a harp one of these days. You're going to have a beautiful, beautiful voices to sing. And so you will be playing music in heaven before the King. Isn't that something? It's beautiful. And these golden vials, the word vial, you know, you think of a test tube, I do, when you think of a vial, but that's not what this means. In the Greek, it says bowls. They had bowls, golden bowls that were full of odors. They were full of odors? Bad odors? No. It speaks of an aroma. It speaks of fragrance. So, you know, we live this life, we go through a lot of trials and tests, but if we are qualified and are in this group, we are going to be so blessed. We're going to have so much. Just think of the beautiful fragrance that says these believers are fragrance in God's nostrils. These persons are ones who have sacrificed, who have yielded their lives, and they stand here before the Lord. Oh, that is such a beautiful thought. Praise the Lord. The vial full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They're the prayers of the saints. The Lord wants us to become prayer warriors. Every trial, every test, when it's brought to our attention, should be a matter of prayer right then and there, at home, wherever you are. Pray for someone else that is having a need. Just pray for them. And that's what overcomers of the Lord do. They pray for others. They seek God's will for others. They're busy people with the Lord. And notice something else now. They're also singers. In verse 9, they sung a new song. Not like any song we've ever heard before. It's a brand new song. You know, we love the songs that we sing, spiritual songs. It says to sing spiritual songs in the meeting. They've been written by humans that could write them, and the Holy Spirit just moved on people to write these songs. So the grace and glory. I knew Sister Bodie. Some of us knew her. We went to Bible school when she was alive, and she was such a poem writer. She couldn't sing very much, but she could write poetry. It was inspiration of God because she wrote gobs and gobs of songs. And Brother Copley was a man who loved music, and he could write songs. And so when they started working together in the ministry, he took her poems a lot and made them into songs. And that's where we have the Grace and Glory songbook. But the overcomers in Christ, the song that they sing at this point is going to be a brand new song. But this song is going to say these words, and they've already said them in verse 11 of chapter 4. Thou art worthy. They're still just praising the Lord. They're still just falling down before him and rejoicing. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Think about that. I heard a preacher, and I have to tell you this again because it bothered me so bad. When he read this over here about these, in the fourth chapter, about the 24 elders and the living creatures, he said, there's some kind of angelic beings, but I don't know what they are. I never go into that. I don't understand it. And I was sitting there on my chair going, read on down, read on down, read on down. Go down to the fifth chapter, and it's going to tell you there who they are. And it does. It says that the Lord has redeemed these people that they look strange in our Bible. 24 elders and these beings that the beast, the four living creatures, they're a little bit strange looking. It's just all typical, see. We're not really going to look strange like that. We're going to have our glorified body. But these are representative of them. They've been redeemed by God, to God, by the blood. Which blood? Thy blood, Jesus' blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Do you believe the word? There have been people that have been saved and are being saved out of every kindred, nation, and tongue who will be in this group. Praise the Lord. I hear, and I've mentioned this before too, but you have to get used to me talking and repeating things. Brother Lee, he was a Chinese man. He was from Formosa, and he went back to Formosa, and he preached the word of God and had a great assembly there of people and other churches that were believing the same thing. And when I think of Formosa today and of the thought that maybe China's going to try to seize them, you know, take them in again, I pray so much for the believers that are there. Every kindred, nation, and tongue, God is a very just God. He goes and he presents the truth to every single one, every single group. You mean even the Hottentots in Africa, even the Hindus and the... Yes, he makes sure that the word of God has gone forth to hear, for them to hear. Isn't that a precious thought? And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign, the Bible says, on the earth. But the word in the original is over the earth. You see, these people are in heaven with the Lord. They make up the company that is called the Bride of Christ. And they are going to come back. Read it in chapter 19. Down at the latter part of the chapter, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back with his people riding on white horses, coming back to the earth to judge the world. And that is the overcomers. These people were redeemed by God out of every kindred, nation, and tongue. And the Lord God has made them kings. Now, they're not the king, are they? They're the queen. They have the authority with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens. And he says, we shall reign. The we, I think, includes Christ and the overcomers. These people, they're Christ and these people will be rulers over the earth. Okay, and then going on. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and a thousands of thousands. And we don't know how that all is divided. We don't know if there are 3,000 angels and then 1,000 of these and 1,000. We don't know how that is divided. But they're right there with the angels, and they are rejoicing. And notice what they say in verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven. I was very impressed by this verse again. Think about this. The word of God is true. At this time, when Christ is magnified and takes his throne, and it's in the beginning of the tribulation, it says, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. It says creature. You think this means maybe all of the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and everything will just begin to sing their songs and worship their creator? We don't know what that means exactly. We know that many people in the world, when Jesus is crowned the King in heaven and he's on his throne and all of that, they won't care nothing about Jesus. They're going to take the mark of the beast. Terrible situation. But notice that. Unto the Lamb forever and ever. And verse 14, the four living creatures said, Amen. When they heard them rejoicing, they said, Amen. You know what that means? So be it. So be it. Rejoice. So be it. Rejoice and exalt the Lord. They said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. They fall down a lot. We don't like to fall down. But praise the Lord for them. They're just prostrating themselves before the Lord. They're prostrating themselves before the Lord. He's the one that's worthy. It's not that we are worthy. It's not that we are so great, that we are such great overcomers or whatever. It isn't us. It's the Lord. He's the one that's going to be magnified. And that's what all of us right now should be doing, is magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ, letting him be the leader and ruler of our life right now. Because if we do that, we're going to be ready for the coming of Jesus, and we're going to be in wonderful condition with the Lord.